Good afternoon. Day two. Hope you are already enjoying the 2 days. Tomorrow, another one. I think two more sessions, and then it's party time, which means all of you are probably already in your head at the party, at the beers. At least we Belgians are like that, so I'm hoping you still can stay a bit focused on this session about Windows Server 2012 and R2 data deduplication. The idea of this session is simple, very simple. By the end of this presentation, you all should be ready to go out there and try out data deduplication and know what might go wrong and prepare for it before you actually put it into action. Because this is actually fantastic technology that's built by Microsoft. The history behind it is that it was not invented by the different development teams, but it was invented by the R&D team. They have the special team at Microsoft that do research. And what they were actually searching for was an algorithm that could put a massive amount of data, make it much smaller to store it. The reason behind that is because of American laws. For example, and this might sound funny, but it's a true law, from the moment you are born until the day you die, plus 100 years is the amount of time that they need to keep your medical data. Can you imagine for a hospital how much data they need to keep over all these years? So they need efficient deduplication methods. And a research team spent 4 years investigating in just the algorithm that is used in Windows Server 2012. Now, the second story behind this, and we don't know exactly whether it's true or not, is that a member of the Windows Server 2012 team, a developer, was having lunch with one of these researchers, and you know, they were drinking a bit and talking, and the guy was telling what kind of research they did. He said, hey, that's cool. Why can't we use it in the product? And that's how it got in. Now, we don't not 100% sure if this is exactly true, but that is at least the story they tell us. Now, on our agenda today, I'm going to quickly explain what deduplication is. The reason why I'm going to explain this is because many people know deduplication from the storage world, from a storage area network or something like that. But there's much more than just the storage world that uses deduplication. We're also going to look at the planning, the installation, and actually within this presentation, I've got quite a lot of movies that will show you how you need to install, what you can do with PowerShell, and so on. Unfortunately, I only have 1 hour, which means there's no way I can show them. Plus, you probably won't like my video editing skills anyway. What we are going to do is make sure that those movies are inside the moment that they get distributed on the site of System Center Universe, so you can look at them if you would need them. But you will see, it's quite simple, actually. We're also going to look at the architecture so that you actually know what's behind and what you can do and what kind of settings you can change. They're quite a lot, actually. Then we're quickly going to jump into VDI, Virtual Desktop Infrastructure. I'm not sure if somebody of you is using this with Hyper-V, but if you do, this is really a technique you need to look into because it will save you a lot of headaches and save you a lot of storage as well. I know everybody says storage is cheap, but reality, we all know it's rather expensive. And then we're going to look at some conclusions of what I've seen over the last 3 to 4 years, because I actually used this since it was in alpha code before it became publicly available, and also what the performance hits are and those kind of things. And a few more tips before you want to start with it. So let's start. What is deduplication? Again, I'm going to go to Wikipedia, and I'm looking up the definition, because Wikipedia is what everybody uses for his homework anyway. But the important thing is here is eliminate duplicate or redundant information. Now, this is exactly what Microsoft is going to do with this technology. Eliminate the duplicate, and funny enough, redundant information they're going to remove as well. The reason for that is that besides the duplication, they also use compression on top of that. But that's rather important because that will save even more. Now, if you look at the deduplication world, then you have a few methods. first thing you have to look at is inline method versus post-process. What it basically means is that if you use the inline method, is the moment you're writing away the data, it first gets deduplicated before it's been written away. Advantages are clear. That means from the beginning, you don't need a serious amount of storage because it's getting deduplicated before it hits the storage. Disadvantage means that your servers or your hardware boxes actually need much more resources while writing away data, meaning also that you could get delays in that data being written away. Post-process is the opposite. It will deduplicate the data later. Downside, well, you need the storage first to save the data. Upside, you don't use that amount of resources while writing away the data. And because you're using post-process, which means you can work more efficiently, you will need less resources as well to do the deduplication. The Microsoft methodology is post-process. So remember that you need the storage first. Second, what you have to look at is source versus target. What this means is the data you're deduplicating, where is the deduplicated data going to? Microsoft uses the source, which means if you deduplicate the data, it will remain on the same source. Target means you're deduplicating it, but moving it away to another storage location. Okay? Target is more known from the backup world. You're deduplicating the data that you're backing up and then writing it away to a backup location somewhere. But again, Microsoft uses the source in this case. And then finally, you have the way you're going to do your deduplication. It's file-based, block-based, or chunk-based. Now, if you're going to look at file-based, that's the least effective because then you actually need two files which are completely identical. So if you got two Word files completely identical, then they will be deduplicated, meaning you keep one copy and then have a pointer to the other location. But of course, if one of the files gets modified by another user, then you still have two copies again. Block-based is more known from the storage world, which means you take a block size on your storage of a fixed size. Depending on your storage vendor, it can be this size, this size, this size, and some storage vendors actually allow you to choose that size yourself. Now, the smaller the block size, the more possibility you have to deduplicate, but then, of course, the more resources you need to actually do all that work. The larger the block size, the less possibility that you find the same types of blocks. Microsoft uses the chunk-based. Chunk-based basically means that instead of using a fixed block size, we are going to calculate what the ideal block size is. That means you will have deduplicated blocks of 8, 32, 128, depending on what the algorithm thinks is the best. Now, lots of tests prove that the chunk-based is the most effective, but again, you've got this additional algorithm that needs to calculate it, which means you will need some more resources as well. Now, one of the big things about Microsoft, and since this is not a real Microsoft conference, I can say this, or at least it's not Microsoft calling the shots here, is when Microsoft brings out the product, the first version you completely ignore. The second version kind of start to work, and from the third version you get interesting. Now, with this one, we're only at version 2, so that would basically mean I now have to say wait until version 3. Now, the thing is, Microsoft is in the deduplication world already for many, many years, but many of you actually don't even know it. Single instance storage. I'm not saying it was the best method, but they've been using that already since 2000. Today, it's not that relevant anymore, and it's not being used anymore, but Microsoft is in this world already for a long year. And then, hard links. And hard links are still used today and save you a major amount of space on every server or any desktop or laptop that you actually deploy. Who knows this great WinSXS folder? Everybody hates it. Way too big. What is it doing there? Can I delete it? That's based on hard links. Because if you're going to look, for example, to a Windows server and just install a clean Windows server, right? And it's about 9 gigabytes large, more or less. And then you're going to enable a few features. If you're going to look at the size of that server, it's still exactly the same. Because what happens is all that information is already in that folder we don't like, and it's got hardlinks. So when you enable the feature, what happens is they're going to be hardlinks directly to that folder, which means the size of your server does not grow. So they are using that already for quite a long time as well. Just to give you the past of Microsoft and to show you it's not actually your version 2. They are working on this much longer. All right, enough about what's deduplication. Let's look at 2012 R2, and see how we can start with the planning. If you're going to use this and you want to do this in your production environment, then you need to keep a few things in mind before you actually start. I can tell a few stories about people that said, cool, they have deduplication, enable it, file server, 15 terabyte, go. That didn't work out well. So you have to think before you actually start this. So first you have to look at what are your target deployments? What am I going to dedupe? That's the first thing you need to look. And secondly, if I'm going to do this, is my hardware capable or virtual hardware capable of actually doing this deduplication jobs? Also look at the unsupported configurations. There's nothing better than calling Microsoft support and say, hey, I got some corrupted data. It's an Exchange database. Oh, by the way, I did deduplication on it. So the other side on the support line, I have no idea which country, but you can imagine, will say, sorry, this is unsupported. You just lost your data, which is, of course, something you don't want. Okay? And then you can also evaluate your savings. You might have a great file server full of PNG images and enable deduplication and figure out that you're not really saving a lot of data. So you have to take that into consideration as well. And then last but not least, you're going to have to decide on your policies. It's not next, finish, it works. You can do that, but it's going to be your policies that you need to decide on what you're going to do. Okay? So what is great to have file shares, virtualization files, but when I say virtualization files, I'm not talking about the running VHDs or the running VHDXs. I'm talking about virtualization templates, saved virtual machines, WIM files, that kind of stuff. Because you're not allowed today, and I'll come back to that one, why that is when I talk VDI, to run deduplication on top of running Hyper-V virtual servers. There's a reason for it, but that's for later. OS deploy files, very great, saves you a lot of storage. And finally, backup files as well. That can save you also great storage. Maybe, and that is something you're going to have to figure out, line of business application, web servers, high-performance computing, static content providers. Why is that? Think about web servers. Many web applications are built with the same DLLs, the same libraries. Now, I'm not a developer, but that's kind of what they tell me what they do. And funny is, if you got multiple web servers running different kind of application, you can actually save quite a lot of storage on it. I know you're going to think, what about performance? But we'll get back to that one later on. But that actually can work. Line of business applications, most of the time, are also built with the same .NET environments and TFS and, you know, if Travis Wright would be here, he would be all over the place now, but I have no idea what that means. I do know many of these components are exactly the same, which again makes you save quite some storage. Okay? Static content provider is rather simple. If it's static content, you can save. Again, you're thinking, what about performance? But we'll come back on that one. Do not, I know it, I said poor, but actually I should have changed this by do not. Not on your Hyper-V hosts, support reasons, not on your WSUS, and that's the way those updates come inside, because those look exactly like great targets, right? Saving a lot of all these updates. It doesn't work. It will actually break WSUS, so do not do it. No SQL or Exchange server, not supported. These are files that are constantly busy, and you do not want to do on that. And then every file that's larger than 1 terabyte. Why is that? Because it's a post-process, which means it takes time to actually do all the work. 1 terabyte is about the amount it can do in 24 hours. Normally I say 2 terabytes, but it's not a a fixed amount that it does. It depends a bit on the resources and so on. So from the moment you got files that are higher than 1 terabyte, you have to take into consideration he might not make the cycle. It will take a long time to deduplicate one file and all the others being ignored until that one specific one is finished. If you're running Windows Server 2012, then actually if the files go over 1 terabyte, more or less, it will break deduplication because it can't stop out of itself and it will just be in a continuous loop and breaks. Windows Server 2012 R2, they figured it out, it breaked, so they built something in that it can stop, but then still you're not yet finished and you need to continue. So again, this is not a hard limit, this is not something that just doesn't work anymore, but your resources won't be able to make it, you don't have enough hours available in a day, which means you will get worse performance. For the installation, if we're gonna look at it, one of the things you need to think about from the beginning is the evaluation tool. After you're going to enable deduplication as a feature, and that's just a checkbox in the GUI, and I'll come back on that one, you can run this tool, DDP, data deduplication eval, on a volume path or on a share or something like that, and it will give you approximately what your savings are. Now, I know this is a rather bad example with only 34 files in it and a couple of megabytes, but that way you will see whether it's worth putting your file server through that or whatever other workload you're doing it, so you can actually see what the savings are. I always advise everybody that already has a running file server and wants to do it, first run this tool to see what your savings are. Is this going to be exact? No. That would be nice, but no. Is it going to be close? Yeah, it's not going to be that far. Yeah. If you have a file server running 2003 and you want to migrate to 2012, can you run it on a 2003? That's the question? Yeah. No, sorry. It would be cool, but no. Actually, that would be a good use case. Yeah. Unfortunately, no, that doesn't work. Yes. Nope, it needs to be 2012, yeah. What you need from hardware, very simple. Windows Server 2012 or higher. One single CPU, whether it's a virtual one or a physical one, doesn't matter. 4 gigs of RAM and a SATA disk. Everything higher is okay. Don't get me wrong, I'm running this in demo environments or something like that, where I give it 512 megabytes of RAM. And it still works perfectly. Now, why do they say 4 gigabytes of RAM? Because if I do that on my file server with 512 megabytes of RAM, guess what? The other functionality starts to become slow. Because when you're going to run deduplication, what you're going to see is going to be a background process. Okay? That means that normally none of your applications or workloads running on that server will be impacted. For example, if you're going to deduplicate one volume and the job starts, it will start with maximum of 375 megabytes of RAM. So if you got 4 gigabytes of RAM, you've got enough for the rest of the applications. For the CPU, it will take maximum 25% of that CPU available per volume. You will see later on that I'm going to talk about that you're going to enable it per volume. So if you got multiple volumes and you want to deduplicate them at the same time on one server, then it's 375 megabytes times 2, 25% of a one CPU times 2. So if you got multiple volumes, that means you're going to have to increase this. You have to calculate it. If you don't have those resources available, then you need to think about putting them into serialization so they don't run at the same time. What's the maximum amount of volumes he can do at the same time? If that's a question, that's 16. Now, I do hope I don't see too much file servers with plus than 16 volumes, because that might make it rather difficult. But you don't need that much resources. How are you going to install it? Well, you either use the GUI, go to Server Manager, a little bit hidden, I do have to admit, File and Storage Services, File and iSCSI Services, and then data deduplication. click on it. 2 minutes later, thing is installed. Or you use PowerShell and you basically say, add Windows feature name FS data deduplication. The import module server manager, you only need to do if you're going to remotely install it from a workstation. The moment you install it on a Windows Server 2012, you actually don't need to import that module. The other one, import model deduplication, is to get the specific PowerShell commandlets for the deduplication. But I'll come back on PowerShell as well. What you have done now is you have enabled it, you have installed it, and nothing happens. You can use the DDP eval tool, and that's it. Nothing more, actually. Again, I promise you, there are videos. We'll make sure, I'll talk to Marcel, that they can be distributed after this. Cool, we've got that. Now we need to know what can we do. So I already mentioned it, it's per volume. No system volume or the boot volume, you cannot do that. Microsoft officially says that because if you enable it on, let me call it a C drive, then the operating system would become slower. That's the reason what they give. Now, later on, I will also tell you what type it is, and I think I have another reason as well why it won't work at the boot volume, but I'll come back to that. Then it can be MBR, GPT, doesn't matter, but it needs to be NTFS. No FAT, FAT16, FAT32, something DOS alike, whatever. And also, no REFS. Why not? Simple, it's coming. Give them some time. They're still working on it. But today, no. It works on shared storage. It can work if you're using failover clustering, and you know that storage is the one that's being failovered, no problem. Not on CSVs today, unless that's a CSV used for VDI. Again, I'll come back by the end of the presentation on VDIs. But today, not on CSVs, unless it's for VDI. And that moment, you really have to use Windows 2012 R2. It also does not work on remotely mapped drives. On the other hand, one of the things I use it, I travel quite a lot. I've got lots of virtual machine environments, labs, and I take backups of those each time. Used to travel with 4 or 5 USB hard drives all over the world, hoping none of them would crash. Today, what I do is, I actually got a Windows Server 2012 R2 with all those virtual machine labs in it. It's got data deduplication on it. I deduplicate the volume on my USB device. Now, this is not supported on production, by the way, but just saying. The moment you plug it out and you take that USB device to any other Windows Server 2012 that has deduplication enabled, you can take the data off. So all the data is stored on the volume and not with the server, which means you can actually move it to other places if you want to. What else? Now we have to think, right? Can it be deduplicated? What about my empty volume? I already said this customer that decided 15 terabytes, start now, Monday morning, file server still choking, still, the weekend is over, it still hasn't worked. So are you starting with an empty volume or do you have a large volume? If you do, you're gonna have to play with the policies in the beginning to make sure that everything can be done in a timely manner, okay? What about the resources? How many volumes do I have? Do I want all those volumes at the same time? Do I have hardware resources to do that? And also, I already told you that it used 375 megabytes per volume, 25% of the one single CPU in that server. But if you force the job through PowerShell, and we'll come back how you do that a little bit later, then it can use the double of the resources, meaning it will go faster. But then again, do not do this during production hours because then you're using the double of the resources, okay? Is it a supported configuration? Again, you need to think about it. No virtual machines, servers today. No Exchange servers, no SQL servers, those kind of things. And even if you think it's supported and there are specific files of an application of a specific vendor, ask him first whether he supports it or not. And then we're going to look at the policies. By default, what you're going to see is every last modified file, which is 3 days, not modified anymore, will be a candidate and will be deduplicated. You can play with this, but this is the default, 3 days, okay? Shadow, it will start every hour. It will look, is there a file or files ready for deduplication? Yes, let's run. Every hour again, okay? By default, EDB and GRS are excluded. You can put your own exclusions in it. You can do it on a folder. You can do it on extension. But these two are by default. Can you change it so those two will be deduplicated anyway? No. These are actually hard excluded. And then you got two more jobs which are rather important, and that's the garbage collection and the data scrubbing. Because the downside of data deduplication is, imagine you got a file server and you delete a file of, whatever, 100 gigabyte, right? Shift delete, here we go, this is great. But my size of my volume didn't change. How is that possible? What will happen is the pointer to that file disappears. But all the different chunks are still in the chunk store. Okay? That means that only on Saturday, when the garbage collection kicks in, that's by default 2 o'clock in the morning, by the way, then those chunks will be removed if, of course, there are no other files still making use of those chunks. Can you force this? PowerShell, you can do it immediately, but this is a rather resource-intensive job. So again, do not do this during production hours. Wait at least until 6 or something that some people have left the office. And then there's also the data scrubbing job, which will run by default at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. That will make sure, we'll look at all of your chunks, all of the pointers, and so on, and see if everything is still okay and there are no corrupt chunks or corrupt files to keep your data in health. Because you can imagine if you got 100 files and they all get deduplicated, and of those 100 files, there's one specific chunk that's needed for all of these 100 files, and that one dies, you might have an issue. You lose 100 files. Now, besides that, there are more methods to save your data, but let me wait until we come to that. Now we need to enable a volume. Again, through a GUI, you go to the server manager, you go to file and storage services, right-click on it, enable volume, boom. Okay? Or you use PowerShell, videos are embedded, so you can use this, and you can do the same thing. Okay. Let's quickly now look at the architecture of what it's actually happened. This is a filter driver. It lies on top of NTFS, which I believe is also a reason why it can't work on a boot volume, because if your server is booting, NTFS is okay, but then it needs to load the drivers. Unfortunately, if the driver cannot be loaded because it's deduplicated, that might be an issue. That's more my theory behind it. But anyway, it's a filter driver on top of it. You will find a service, a new service, a Windows service called DDP. SVC, Data Deduplication Service, which is responsible for launching all of these tasks. Okay? Don't forget about this garbage collection, 2 o'clock Saturday morning, but if you are still running, I don't know, maybe backups or something, make sure you move this time, that they're not running at the same time. Same thing for the scrubbing part, 3 o'clock Saturday morning. Make sure it's not running at the same time when you're still having backups or other heavy-duty maintenance tasks on those specific workloads. Think about that. And then the optimization task is actually the one-hour task that runs every time to do the deduplication of the new files that fall within that specific policy. The jobs, if you want to force them to start them themselves, meaning you're going to use foreground optimization and use double of the resources, which is certainly handy in the beginning when you're starting it, of course, outside the business hours. Then you can use start dedup job, dash type optimization to start deduplicating, or if you want to force garbage collection or the scrubbing to test the integrity of your data, you can do that as well through that simple PowerShell command. Let's look a little bit more at settings and policies. We already said per volume, talk about, but important is the chunk size. Yeah? everything between 32 kilobytes and 128. That's where he's looking in. Okay? It also means that, where is it? Here we go. Every file smaller than 32 KB gets ignored by default. Why? Because if it's smaller and you would deduplicate it, it would actually become bigger. Now you can override this, not by GUI, but by PowerShell you can say, I don't care the little bit of loss I will have, I want everything in that chunk store, so please do that. Not on the Windows volume, and if you got a volume which is encrypted, then it's completely ignored, because officially the deduplication would not be able to read it. Now we tested it on BitLocker. Works perfectly. Unfortunately, no support. So it's also compressed, and as I said, everything below 3 days will get ignored by default. Now, if you want to deduplicate immediately everything, then this setting will just be zero. Means everything that's got written, the next hour, the optimization job kicks in, and it's being deduplicated. Okay. About that chunk store, where is it actually? You will find it in the our favorite folder, System Volume Information. You know, the one where you click on as an administrator and you still don't have access? Well, all the chunks will be in there. All of them. Even if you have a file which is being deduplicated, but you got only one chunk of it, which means it deduplicates nothing, it still will go in there. That means every file on your file server at that moment, when you look at the properties, will be 4 kilobits, which is just the metadata and the reference to the different chunks. Okay? That, of course, also means that if your end users are looking at all of their files, they suddenly see it's only 4, like, hey, that's a small file, something's wrong. Think about that as well, that might happen. The decisions you need to make, well, we kind of discussed them already. Number one, what about scrubbing? When are you going to do that? The garbage collection, is 2 o'clock in the morning okay? Am I not running something else? Do I need to move it to Sunday? Whatever, right? Which folders am I going to exclude? There might be specific folders on a volume that you really do not want to. Well, you can do that, but you need to make that decision. What about the extension exclusion? EDB GRS by default, but you might want to add other ones as well. And how many days are you going to choose to start with? Now, one of the tricks is, if you got a huge file server to start with, is to put those days at, for example, 30. Because then it will have the time, if you start on a Friday evening, to do all those files that aren't modified since the last 30 days. The moment those jobs are done, you might want to change it to 15. And that will do another amount of data. And then you can continue until you are at your preferred amount of days. That's one of the tricks you can use. These are all the PowerShell commands that you can use with deduplication. Now, I am a very big fan of PowerShell. Don't tell the Dutch guy, on the other hand, otherwise he will be over me. But I am very terrible in remembering all of these commandlets. Windows Server 2012 had over 2,300 commandlets. I don't even know anymore how many Windows Server 2012 R2S, but there are more. I cannot remember this. I'm a big fan of get help. So what I do is get -command -module deduplication, and then you will get all of them. That's the only thing I remember. And I can find all of them. Important to know, as I'll go quickly back, is, as I already said, you can't only do half of the settings through the GUI. This is probably one of the first features where you really have an amount of settings you can't change anymore to the GUI, but you need PowerShell. For example, if you do choose to deduplicate also every file smaller than 32 KB, you need to do that through PowerShell. It can't do it through the GUI anymore. Okay. Another one is about hotspots. Well, now that I mentioned, I can continue talking about it. One of the things in security in this method is, from the moment it finds a certain chunk being referenced 100 times or more, it will create the second time that chunk. We call that a hotspot, which means that in case that one dies, you're not losing 100 files because you have a backup of that chunk. Now, if you think 100 is way too much and you want to change it from the moment you find 50 chunks, I want the hotspot, you can change that, but again, only through PowerShell. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Give me a second. I told you I can't remember them. No. Here we go. Set dedupe volume. If you're going to do get help and you say set dedupe volume, you're going to see you got this amount of parameters. Well, if you look at the GUI, you got like four things you can choose. So, yeah. All right. These are just the ones that I normally use that I try to remember, but to be honest, kind of fail all the time. So, very important though, I want to stress out this one, get dedupe status. It's the only way to see if one of the jobs is running, what's it doing. Again, through the GUI, you won't see anything. And with get dedupe status, you will be able to see. Now, the funny thing is, at a certain moment, you can do get dedupe status, and it will return nothing. That doesn't mean there's an issue. That was the first thing I thought. But that just means there's no job running. Okay? So it doesn't say no jobs running. It just returns nothing. Think about that, because I made that mistake a couple of times. All right. Now let's talk about VDI. I said Hyper-V servers, running Hyper-V servers not supported, still is the case. But when it's Hyper-V VDI, then it's supported on condition that this is the architecture. You got your Hyper-V servers, but all of your machines are staying on a SMB-based storage on a CSV. SMB3, CSV connected to your Hyper-V host. Then it is supported. Now, I know many of you probably think, why is this supported and why is not supported when the Windows server is running on those? The answer is rather simple. Microsoft didn't have the time to test it on large scale. So I'm expecting that Hyper-V version 4, whenever that comes out, will support this as well. They just didn't have the time to do the large scale testing. Okay. Now, why would you want to do it on your VDIs? Because, you know, resources, penalties, you need to deduplicate it, you need to read it out again, you're going to lose time. In fact, you're not. Reason for space, I think, is obvious. VDI uses a lot of space, you can save a lot of money, but it also using a caching mechanism. And I'll try to explain that as simple as possible. And I'm going to point to a few people in the room. No offense, guys, nothing wrong, but you're the first one coming into the office 6 o'clock in the morning because you like to work hard. Yeah, I don't believe that. You come in 6 o'clock, you open a Word file. You normally will see, if it's a deduplicated Word file, you probably will have a little bit of delay because it needs to, you know, find the different chunks and present it to you as one file. How much delay? Well, look at this as a hard drive, which is fragmented, which you forgot to defrag, exactly the same, because that what's happened, it needs to point to those different chunks, okay? Will you see it as an end user on a file server? No, but there is the delay. Now you come in as a second, 7 o'clock, you're a little bit more normal than he is, 6 o'clock, really. You take your cup of coffee, you open Excel. Completely different, but guess what? A couple of the chunks are the same. You will probably already open it faster than before it was deduplicated. Why? Caching. Because he started that specific Word file, all of these chunks will go in the cache. You open Excel, new files comes into the cache. Now you walk in at 8 o'clock, you open PowerPoint, boom. Super fast because, you know, 90% of the chunks were in the cache. So all of the chunks that are used a lot during the day will go in that specific cache, meaning that you can actually be faster in reading out files for your end users than before. Now, of course, if an end user is going to open a file that's not being used for the last 100 days, that might be a difference. But again, end users normally won't see it. Okay. In the case of a VDI, what is the biggest problem with the VDI project? That's bootstorm. Everybody walks in at 9 o'clock, takes his coffee, starts his VDI. Yeah, storage goes nuts. But 90% of a VDI is the same, whether it's a Windows 7 or a Windows 8. The code base, the DLLs, all that kind of stuff, is kind of the same. It's all deduplicated, and because that is used most often, it will go into the cache. Meaning the first guy starting his VDI will have some delay. The 20th guy starting his VDI will see it boot much faster because of that caching mechanism. Sorry? You choose. More memory, the more cache you can create. Yeah, PowerShell only. But yeah, the more memory you have in your machines, the more cache you can give it. And in the case of VDI, this is a game of playing. I cannot give you a perfect rule. What's ideal? If you got 20 VDIs, then that amount of cache is needed. It depends what kind of VDIs, what are you using for? Are they using 3D technologies? Is it just office computers? It's a bit playing with it and seeing. But most of the time, you'll figure it out rather fast. Sorry? Yeah. All right. But again, since this is VDI and this is a post-processing method, you need the space first. What does it mean that if you got, I don't know, 100 VDIs times 40 gigs or something, right? But you're saying, hey, I'm going to use the deduplication, so I don't need to buy all that storage. You're in a problem because you can't store them first and then start the deduplication. What's the trick again? Deploy 10, start deduplication, put another 10 on it, start deduplication, and so on, and so on, and so on, until you reach all of your VDIs on that one thing. That does mean if you're going to rehydrate, I'll come to you immediately, if you're going to rehydrate and, you know, stop deduplication, in 2012, there's a big issue with that. If you got a file server, 10 gigabytes, and you did deduplication, and in total it's now 8 gigabyte large, deduped, you want to undedupe, which means you're going to go way over that 10 gigabyte in Windows Server 2012, yeah, you got an issue. And it won't stop. It will just keep complaining that you're running out of space and you won't get out of that loop, so do not do that. Windows Server 2012 R2 fixed it. Now they realize it, and now you can actually rehydrate one file, two files, or something. What's the best way to rehydrate a deduplicate volume? Doing copies and moving it to other storage that's got space enough, and then it will automatically get undeduped. You had a question?
Can I change the amount of cache after a week when I see that it was not enough?
Can you change the amount of cache afterwards when you see it's not? Yeah, you can change those settings. I'm not going to say on the fly. You don't want to do it when there's a job running. But you can. All right. How are you going to do this for VDA? You're going to say enable dedupe volume if you're going to use PowerShell. The biggest difference is you need to say usage type Hyper-V so that that deduplication knows it's dealing with Hyper-V, VDI, which probably assumes, now everybody certainly assumes, next version will support Hyper-V. Why is that? Because that is the only way that it can optimize or deduplicate files which are in use. Because VDIs files are always in use. It needs to be able to do that, right? In the preview version of R2, you actually had to tell it himself. Now that's automatically, so you don't need to do that anymore. And again, in case of low storage, start with a couple of VDIs first, dedupe them, add others, dedupe them, and so on, and so on. All right, let's take a look at what we saw the last couple of years. In general files, 50 to 60%. Funny enough, documents, Word, PowerPoint, so Office, only gives you 30 to 50%. I would have expected more, but not really. They already have some own ways of doing so. On application side, you could save 70 to 80%. I'm going to do a shameless plug here for a second. My apologies. I know I work for Veeam. But if you combine, if you use a deduped volume as a backup repository for Veeam backups, you easily can get that 70-80% target on the backup files. There are other vendors as well that can do that, but you can actually save quite a lot. And look at this, VHD libraries, 80-95%. And you will get close to these numbers, rather close. The most beautiful example is if you take a default installed Windows Server 2012 R2 with GUI, you have around 9 gigabyte VHDX. Okay? If you enable deduplication and it's the only file on that volume, you go to 3.7. Put a secondary VHD on it and you can start calculating how fast you're going to save. So it really is very effective in doing its job. Of course, we're talking about server. It's on the application layer. It's on the software layer. What about the performance hit? Writing away data, no performance hit. Why? Post-process. And the job itself tries to minimize the amount of resources. So if you have calculated in advance that you're going to use this and you give it half a gig more memory and maybe one virtual CPU more, you won't see any issues at all. Reading files, meaning you might get a performance hit. 2-3% is what we normally see if we're alone on that volume. Think about the caching. If you got file servers, you probably won't even notice it, and it might get faster. And in case of VDI, we just see it's faster. There you can calculate how much faster the things boot as well. So on a performance hit, normally not a problem. If it's a volume that you alone are using, you might see a 2-3% performance in reading the file. Okay. How reliable is it? I can honestly say that till today, and I use this technology very heavily on many USB devices, many virtual servers, physical servers, whatever I can find. I also use it all the time in non-supported configurations, but that's something else. I've never had one bad file today. However, we do know there are people that got corruption. What Microsoft does is the garbage scrubbing, the scrubbing to make sure to figure out if everything is still okay, the hotspots, and inside the algorithm, there are a few more techniques that make sure that it doesn't get corrupted. Can it get corrupted? Yes. Unfortunately, yes. So backups is always what you will need to do the moment you start with this technique. But, you know, even if you got your storage area network, you would prefer to have some backups as well. It remains a technique to make data smaller, so there are always risks. So think about that. It's meant for capacity optimization. I think that's obvious. It is ready for scale and performance, although do not forget the moment it goes over 1 terabyte, you might get into issues in the beginning. They have things foreseen for reliability and data integrity, and the management is through the simple GUI or PowerShell. So that is a bit the entire story. But if we're going to look at a few tips, make sure you plan. You're not the first, and you probably won't be the last that decides to just start this on a large server and then gets into troubles. Think first before you actually activate it on a volume and do it in phases. Work with the 30 days, 15 days, 10 days, or something like that before you do or reach to the target that you actually want. Use it with branch cache. Who uses branch cache? One person. Everybody knows what branch cache is? More or less? Okay. The funny thing about this, if you enable deduplication on your main file server and you use it on the branch cache file server, you're going to save two things. One, space on both sides. Second, because they are aware of it, he will only send over the chunks that do not exist yet at the other side. So if a new file comes into the main file server, but actually exists out of chunks that are already written somewhere, it will just notify the other side, there is a new file, but it uses chunk A, B, C, D, E, whatever. So on a one, if you look at it from sending over data over the one, it will save that bandwidth as well. Yes?
But
That's correct, if you use the three-day settings, of course. Most of the time, what we see is actually the zero-day setting. But you're right. Very good remark. It works with failover clusters, not worried about. You can use DFS replication, because DFS and data duplication won't know from each other that they're both working. DFS is on a higher layer. Data duplication is on the file layer on top of NTFS. So both of them don't even know that they exist, and they can work together without any problems. The only thing you never may do is activate or install single instance storage on a server that has volumes that are deduplicated, because that could break everything. In fact, I'm not 100% sure, but I think in R2 you can't even enable it anymore the moment data duplication is installed. But just don't do it, because that will actually break and they can't work together. Okay? Take backups. Nice twins, right? Come on. Make sure you take backups of the data. It remains a risk. Very important to know, and that's something you need to ask your backup vendor. And no, you're not allowed to ask me. My colleagues here are here somewhere. If you're going to take backups, what is it going to do with the data? Some vendors will see, for example, a volume of 4 terabyte deduplicated data, will make it 40 again, because it will rehydrate it, because it can't work with the dedupe. There are even backup vendors that cannot read such volumes. And then you have backup vendors that will play smart with the data, so it's also small in the backup. Which one your vendor is doing, ask him. It's that simple. And the chances are big that if you have a bad situation, that they say, hey, but upgrade to version whatever, and that it can handle it. Okay? But ask it before you start backing up a deduplicate volume, because it could be not even be supported with the version you're running. So think about that as well. And make sure you think of this evaluation tool up front to see what your savings are, that you're not enabling something which doesn't make sense at all. Questions? I'll start here. Yeah.
What about some summarizing job at the volume makes a defragmentation?
What if somebody makes a defragmentation job on a on a volume that is deduplicated? Is it bad? No. Will it do something? No. It's completely useless. It will run, it will look at something, but that system volume information, defragmentation cannot touch that. So, useless. Yes? Ha ha ha, I was waiting for that question. If I would have had a prize, you would win it. What about virus scanning? How is virus scanning going to handle the fact that all these chunks are being moved and breaking apart? And all right, so 99% of the virus scanners have no idea that it's happening. They just see the file, and they will scan the files. That in the background, it's separated by different chunks. That's not their problem. Now, this is 1% that actually can go one step further onto the NTFS layer. I'm not going to say the name. It's not important. They are prepared, and they can handle it as well. So you have no issues installing a virus scanner on it. Do know, that is important, if you have a virus scanner, you do a full scan, maybe during the weekend, that scan will take longer than you normally would see. So think again, then, if you're going to do a full scan, make sure it's at the right times outside of certain production hours. More questions? Come on, I know the beer is waiting, but yeah. Do you know if Microsoft has plans for fast provisioning of VDIs using this mechanism? The answer is no, but damn, I like that idea. I never thought about it. I'm actually going to write that down. Probably not going to help, but at least I'll send it to the guys, Microsoft. I don't believe in the fact, if I send over feedback, that Microsoft listens. I don't work for Microsoft, so. More questions? Yes. Sorry, lightning is straight in my face.
In Config Manager, mm-hmm. You have the single instance type of storage for the content library. Does it work with data being built?
In Config Manager, To be honest, that I will need to ask. I do know that in Config Manager, if you got your, what's the name again? All of these servers that, you know, have the packages ready. Yeah, and that it works on that one, considering X, Y, Z. But I should ask the Config Manager guys to be 100% sure. But the model you're talking about, to be honest, I have to ask him. I have no idea. Yes. Sorry? Yeah? Okay. It should be okay. Yeah. I just want to check it before sure, because it's some kind of SIS, and SIS and data dedupe do not work together. So, but might be right. Again, I don't dare to say because I'm not sure. Any more questions? Why not changed? Well, as of today, it kind of works rather well, if you take the tips into consideration. So why would they change? I probably assume in the next version they will add whatever else feature. I'm thinking about, for example, for the cache, that you suddenly will be able to use SSD disks instead of the memory, those kind of things. I'm sure they're in their plans, but wait and see. All right, thank you very much, and enjoy the coffee and the rest of the show.